I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. What to do with former ISIS fighters? That's a problem facing many countries, like Russia. Thousands of Russians left to join ISIS, mostly from Dagestan, a majority Muslim republic in the Caucasus Mountains. And in the case we're about to hear, a couple took their Russian-born children with them to Iraq. That was 4 years ago. Samira is now 9 years old. Her brother Abu Bakr is just five. The father was killed in an airstrike in Iraq. The mother was later captured. And the children spent almost 2 years locked in a cell with her. In December, Samira and Abu Bakr were returned to Dagestan to live with their aunt. And that's where my BBC colleague Sarah Rainsford caught up with them.
First of all, they were tearing around their backyard of their house on two brand new bikes that they'd been given. They were basically, I think, learning to be children again. They were also trying to catch up on their education. Samira, the little girl, she didn't go to school in the Islamic State. She just got some kind of religious education there. She learned a bit of Arabic, but she's got a lot of catching up to do to catch up with her peers at school. And little Abu Bakr was just literally playing like crazy, crashing his bike into his sister's bike, smiling, laughing. Apparently, according to his aunt, he's finding it much easier to adjust, but Samira does still have nightmares and still remembers what happened to her in Iraq as a nightmare.
Here's what her aunt Malika told you about how hard it is for Samira to think back to those days.
I think she is trying to forget. One time she remembered something, and I said, "Forget it, it's all a nightmare." And she said, "It was a very long nightmare, very long."
Where are Abu Bakr and Samira's mother today?
Their mother's still in prison in Iraq. And in fact, she's one of several dozen Russian women who were wives of ISIS fighters captured in Iraq, mostly after the fall of Mosul. And they were sentenced in trials in Iraq to life in prison, which actually means about 20 years. So as I say, talking to her sister, Malika, she was really hoping that Russian officials can negotiate and can intercede to bring those women home to serve out their sentences or to live back with their families here in Russia. I think that's something at the moment of a distant hope. But certainly talking about her sister, she was saying, you know, she was tricked. She didn't know where she was going, as you hear an awful lot from relatives talking on this topic, suggesting that her sister really didn't know what she was getting into when she went there with her husband.
And how are they coping without their mother? Or is it really what those two kids saw in the Islamic State that seems to haunt them more right now?
I think it's a mixture of both. I mean, they are missing their mum. Of course they are. They didn't enjoy being in prison. Their auntie told me that they came back covered in bites and fleas, that they hadn't been eating properly for a long time. But they missed terribly being able to speak to their mum. And their sort of big hope is that she will come back to them. There is another element in all of this, which is that there is a baby brother involved, a little boy called Zubair, who's 2 years old, and he's still with his mother in the Baghdadi prison, the Iraqi prison. There are efforts underway right now to get him brought to Russia, but that was a bit more complicated because he was actually born in Iraq. But he is expected to be brought back on a flight in the next couple of months.
Sarah Rainsford, how did Samira's aunt Malika manage to get this little girl and her brother out of Iraq?
Well, she wasn't on her own. She, in fact, told me there was around about 250 women, mainly people, in a group of relatives who were imploring the authorities here in Russia to intercede on their behalf. So it all went through diplomatic channels, through government channels in the end. But they were literally sort of running around every bureaucrat's office that they could find, anyone who they thought could help them. So certainly I spoke to the children's ombudswoman in Dagestan, and she told me that right now, even now, on her desk, she has appeals from 700 families to try to find relatives who are in Syria and Iraq, all of them with different stories. But she also said, you know, that's 700. But in each one of those appeals, she said there are multiple children, four or five children involved. So I think, you know, whilst many countries are wrestling with this very issue right now, what to do about the wives, the children, and of course, even the fighters, those who've survived, I think in Russia, the scale is quite extraordinary. We are talking certainly about hundreds, potentially thousands of people, which Russia needs to decide exactly what it's going to do with.
You met a young Russian woman named Victoria who ran away to join ISIS with two friends that she met working at McDonald's. She managed to return home to her village and is serving a 5-year suspended sentence. Here's what she told you.
I didn't kill anyone. I'm clean. Before God and the authorities, I didn't kill. I won't answer for others. Everyone must answer for their own sins.
How are people in Russia accepting these returnees?
Well, I think perhaps the simplest answer to that is to point to the fact that the women are no longer being returned. Since the FSB security chief made a statement saying that he believed that these women were a threat to the security of Russia, quietly, the return of women has basically been shelved, and it's just the children who are being brought back now. At least that's the main focus. It is extremely complicated. Meeting Victoria, the woman you just heard from, was quite a sort of disconcerting experience for me. I expected her to be fairly forthright in expressing regret and condemnations. But, you know, she was adamant that she hadn't fought and therefore she wasn't guilty as such. She certainly wasn't coming out and saying that she'd made the wrong choice and that IS was wrong. She was trying to justify her decision. She said that she couldn't regret it because she actually had two children when she lived over there, so she couldn't regret that. And also she said, you know, there was fighting and killing on both sides. I asked her about terrorist attacks specifically. She said killing was wrong, but she wouldn't come out directly, really, and condemn IS as a terrorist organization. Which I did find quite extraordinary, given that she's back here in Russia now.
The BBC Moscow correspondent Sarah Rainsford speaking with us about efforts to bring the children of ISIS recruits back home to Russia. Sarah, thank you very much.
Thank you.